Welcome to Trinity Church. This week's podcast is from our recent Sunday morning service. You can also visit trinitychurch.life for more podcasts and videos of recent sermons.
Today's reading is from Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good job. I think we should just wrap up the service right there. It's been a nice morning. Well, it really is good to be together. My name's Ben, if we haven't met before. I just want to begin with a question today. Have you ever been really, really close to being right? 4 or 5 years ago, we had internet outage at home. And that's not fun. I mean, what do you do when there's no internet? What are you going to read a book? You know, talk to somebody? Not a chance. Called Optimum. I could feel myself getting frustrated as I called. It's like, what are we paying for? You know, this, it's not reliable. What kind of company is this? And of course, I started by being on hold for a while. That made it more intense. But I tried to calm myself and be very, very polite and kind when I talked to the person. They said, you know, what's your problem? You know, here's my problem. And you know, have you tried resetting? Yes, I've tried resetting. Have you like turned it off and on? Yes, all of that stuff. You know, what's your account number? Let's just check on your account. I give my account number, and they're like, oh, sorry, I'm not sure. That didn't really work out. Can you just say that again? I was like, slowly. I tried to have a nice tone, but like, here's my account number, you know, and go through it. And I felt I was becoming more and more frustrated with this whole Optimum operation. About 10 minutes into the conversation, I realized something. We didn't have Optimum. and we had changed to Verizon about 6 months before, and I completely forgot. But I couldn't tell this to that person. And so I was like, you know what? Thank you so much for your help today. Thank you. But I was almost right. I was so close. Or maybe think about the story of Ronald Wayne. Did you know that there were three co-founders to Apple? Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Ronald Wayne. And Wozniak and Jobs were 21 and 24 years old at this time. And so they got a more seasoned business leader to join them when they were getting ready to incorporate. Wayne, for his services, got 10% of Apple, 10% of the company. But 12 days into incorporation, he got spooked because he said, this is going to be a horrible failure. And so he thought it was going to go into debt, and all the debt was going to go onto his shoulders. And 12 days into the incorporation of the company, he had his name taken off the contract and sold all of his shares back to Wozniak and Jobs for $800. At close of market on Friday, Apple was $1.4 trillion. You cringe when you hear that story, right? He was almost a billionaire, give or take a little bit. There's not many things in life that are more frustrating, more disappointing than being so, so close to something, but still not getting there. Being the finalist, final candidate for a job, and then it goes to somebody else. Trying out for a team with 10 spots on it, but you're number 11 on the list. Right? A relationship that almost works out, a health situation that almost gets better, right? On the verge of making it, on the verge of a breakthrough. We hate it when that happens because we feel it viscerally how close we came to getting something that we deeply wanted. We're usually not satisfied with just okay. We're usually not satisfied with close enough. We're not satisfied with almost. But what about when it comes to our faith? Is it possible that without even knowing it, that for some of us today, we are living a kind of faith that's actually far less than what God really intended for us, right? Less than the full picture. We're calling this series, we're starting a new series today called Almost Christian. Almost Christian. And we want to explore in the coming weeks some common beliefs, some common views about God, about Christianity that might seem helpful, but could actually be holding us back from God's best for our lives. Really, an almost Christian sort of faith, Christian-ish. The theologian Douglas John Hall once said that he wasn't so much worried about the reduction in the number of Christians. He said, I'm far more concerned about the qualitative factor. What kind of Christianity are we talking about? And so that's a core question for us as we get into this series. What do we mean by Christian? And so in the coming weeks, we're going to look, today is really the introduction to this series. And in the coming 5 weeks, we're going to look at five different beliefs about God that can end up holding us back from the vibrant kind of faith that Jesus intended for us. And the goal behind this is not just that we'd have more information, but really we're after transformation. We want a clearer understanding of what Christianity is all about, and ultimately that we'd find a better, a stronger, a deeper relationship with Jesus in the process. Now, the idea really that sparked this series for us was from a groundbreaking study that was done a little bit over a decade ago. And it was on the religious and spiritual lives of American teenagers. And again, probably I think about 12 years ago now. And so when they sifted through thousands of interviews and surveys, and they had a lot of grant money, and I think it was out of Notre Dame, they did a lot of work on this. And when they sifted through all of it, they found five core themes that emerged. That kind of, this is the distillation of all the input that they got. And here's what was the, in a sense, the religious viewpoint that was found in among teenagers in that time. A God exists who created and ordered the world and watches over human life on earth. God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other, as taught in the Bible and by most world religions. The central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when God is needed to resolve a problem, and that good people go to heaven when they die. And so the conclusion after all these findings, here's the conclusion that these sociologists wrote in their book. We have come with some confidence to believe that a significant part of Christianity in the United States is actually only tenuously Christian in any sense that is seriously connected to the actual historical Christian tradition. It is not so much that Christianity is being secularized, rather more subtly, Christianity is either degenerating into a pathetic version of itself, or more significantly, Christianity is actively being colonized and displaced by quite a different religious faith. And so what happened is the survey, of course, made a pretty big stir, and they discovered that from what these teenagers, these young people were experiencing in terms of faith and spirituality and religion, even those who self-identified as Christian and being part of Christian churches, that the worldview that emerged from that was actually more quasi-Christian. And the team of researchers named this worldview moralistic therapeutic deism, or MTD for short. And we're going to talk about that more in a second. But here's what was interesting. They found that it wasn't just the teenagers who believed this, that they were simply inheriting something from their parents, from the adults, and even from their churches, that this was, in a sense, like a new version of American civil religion. It was the lived religion found in mainstream culture. So MTD, what do we really mean by that? Well, first of all, moralistic, the M. There's a God, and God wants you to be good. God wants you to be good. So God wants people to be morally good and kind to people. It doesn't define what good is. That's kind of up to the individual to determine what the good is. But a moralistic view of life says that at the core of living a good and happy life is to be a good moral person. So be nice. Be respectful, be polite, right? Do your best to be successful. Do your best to be a decent person. And then therapeutic, feel good, right? Do good or be good, feel good. And this means that the central goal really of life is to be healthy, to be happy, to feel good about yourself, that self is at the center. So when folks were surveyed, in terms of the vocabulary words that came up, there weren't really words that you'd find like in the Judeo-Christian tradition or even many world religions. There wasn't much about prayer or obedience or following or repentance or building character or the love of God or mercy or justice or even having a sense of mission in the world. It was a religion that was really about feeling good, feeling happy, feeling secure, and pursuing a subjective sense of well-being. And then finally, the D, deism, means that there is a God who exists, but this God isn't necessarily involved in your daily life, and this God also doesn't ask anything of you, but is available whenever we have a problem. And so God isn't really present otherwise, so go ahead and live your life. That's what it's all about. And really, there's another quote that I wanted to read to us from the team that kind of summarized the view of God in MTD. And so in MTD, this God is not Trinitarian. He did not speak through the Torah or the prophets of Israel, was never resurrected from the dead, and does not fill and transform people through his spirit. This God is not demanding. He actually can't be, since his job is to solve our problems and make people feel good. In short, God is something like a divine butler and cosmic therapist. He's always on call, takes care of any problems that arise, professionally helps his people to feel better about themselves, and does not become too personally involved in the process. But still want to stop here for a moment, because it's possible that we could think about MTD, right, about be good, feel good, live your life, and we still might say, well, what's really that off base about that? Because after all, morality, isn't morality part of Christianity? Well, yes. What about, you know, feeling good and being psychologically fulfilled, right, a certain therapeutic component, right? Is that opposed to Christianity? No. Or even deism. Maybe it's not the most helpful way to think about God, but at least that's a good starting point, right? Maybe MTD is just a gentler 21st century, more evolved version of Christianity. But the point isn't that MTD is 100% false either. What MTD does is it latches on to a few Christian strands of teaching, maybe on happiness, morality, God's existence, and then fills in the meaning on those terms with its own ideas. Now, MTD is one way that we can describe this in our contemporary Western culture, but the dynamic under it is actually very, very old. Every culture has some version of this kind of almost Christian sort of faith. Kind of it's almost on, but then there's some things that are missing. If we go all the way back to Genesis, the Garden of Eden, right? The original lie that tempted Adam and Eve really boiled down to this question. Doesn't God want you to be happy? And so there's a little seed of doubt that's planted in your heart there. You know, you can't really trust God. God's holding out on you. God, like, you have to make a way for yourself in the world. You can't trust him. You have to trust yourself. You have to trust yourself. And so there was a shift that happened here from a God-centric view of life to a self-centric view. Really, MTD, moralistic, therapeutic deism, is, if you boil it down, a human-centric, performance-based version of Christianity. Human-centric and performance-based. It's about me at the center, right? It's about Ben. My happiness, my self-esteem, my self-fulfillment, my self-expression, my understanding of reality, of truth, of it's really about my control, which on the flip side of that means if it's about my control, then the pressure is all on me to make sure my life goes well too. right? If I got a problem, I have to figure it out. If I have to be improving myself, making myself better, making a way for myself in the world. And again, when we think about this, it might seem pretty normal to us because it's actually very just pervasive in American culture, right? Businesses that do well are the businesses that cater to the self, right? That's when you make money. And so MTD is really the perfect religion for a performance-driven, comfort-driven, individualistic culture. It's like a custom fit worldview. We praise the self, right? Our heroes are self-made people. We love a self-made person kind of story. But if we live the way of Jesus, if we're interested in pursuing Christianity, right, the teaching of Jesus, the life that Jesus presented to us, we're actually never going to get there with a self-focused, self-dependent, self-centered, self-exalting kind of faith. I was thinking about it a little bit this week. MTD is really a dead end. It's kind of like running on a spiritual hamster wheel, right? You keep running, but you don't really go anywhere because it's a worldview that begins and ends with us. And MTD certainly also doesn't equip us to live Jesus' invitation that we read about in a place like Luke 9, where Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." And so this almost Christian kind of faith, again, it might seem compelling. It might seem even kind of like it's intuitively right based on what we've absorbed from culture. But we want to distinguish in this coming series, these coming weeks, we want to distinguish between the Christianity as practiced through the ages and a sort of amorphous Christian-ish kind of faith. And so what do we do? What is the alternative to an almost Christian sort of view? Well, it's historical gospel Christianity. It's an entirely different vision for life where Jesus and the kingdom of God become our new center point. Think a little bit about the Copernican Revolution, where for many, many years, people wholeheartedly believed that the earth was at the center of the solar system. And so the sun and the planets, right, everything rotated around the earth, orbited the earth, rotated in a sense around us. But then at the time of Copernicus, of course, the sun, it was understood that the sun was actually at the center and we were going around the sun. To be a Christian is to discover a new center that you orbit around. And our passage today, our passage in Titus, I believe gives us a very helpful short summary of this fundamental shift that we're invited into in Christianity. Says this, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And so what does gospel Christianity say to MTD? Well, first of all, to moralism, it says that it's good to be good, but it's not really about that because there's nothing that you can do to save yourself, right? It says in the text, not because, right, your salvation, your well-being, your right standing before God is not because of works done by us, but according to his mercy. In other words, according to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, taking on our sin, our shame, our past, our mistakes, our failings. Salvation in the Christian worldview isn't something that you earn for yourself. It's something that's earned for you, that's given to you. It's not at all like a paycheck. When you get a paycheck, you're like, well, I deserve this paycheck because I worked. And you'd be hurt and you'd be offended, you'd be mad if someone didn't give you the paycheck because there was an entitlement there. I worked for it, I get this money. But salvation is not like a paycheck, it's more like a present. You didn't earn it, it's someone just gave it to you. And then finally, to the therapeutic view of God. Well, what's the alternative to that? What's the Christian alternative to that? That Jesus wants everybody to be miserable? No. But God wants more for us than just our happiness. He wants us actually to be made whole, to be made complete, to be made new. It says in the text, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Right, that God is on this mission to bring restoration in our world, to bring restoration in our lives, that we would find healing, that we would find hope, that we would find abundant life, that we would find purpose and meaning and mission in him. And to deism, right, that God is distant. What does Christianity teach in response to the D of MTD? That first of all, God is not far off, but that our Savior appeared. Our Savior appeared, that God draws near to us in Jesus. And second, we read, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs, right? To be heirs. What's an heir? Who's an heir? An heir is somebody's kid, right? Somebody's offspring, is somebody's child. And so Christianity says to us that your true identity, beyond your job, beyond your bank account, beyond how you look, beyond your season in life, beyond what others have said about you, beyond the hard things that you've walked through, your truest identity is as a daughter or as a son of God. That we were made, we were actually meant for that kind of intimate parental relationship with God. Then God will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He will never run out on you. He will never abandon you. And it's through his Holy Spirit that we have him with us 24 hours a day. That's really what we want to discover in this series, the heart of Christianity, that there is no other foundation that is this trustworthy, that is this solid, that is this resilient, that you can base your life upon. When Anna and I were first married, we lived in the Los Angeles area, and in around the area called Hollywood and Highland, which is very touristy, and that's the Oscars are there, and there's like all these kind of like tourist trap shops. And one of the things that's there is Madame Tussauds Wax Museum, now which are like all over the world at this point. And some of the statues there, you know, of celebrities, frankly, very creepy. Others, very realistic. I remember taking a selfie, I'm not proud to admit that in front of our church, but I took a selfie in front of Snoop Dogg, and I sent it to somebody, and they were like, wow, you know Snoop Dogg? You're friends with Snoop Dogg? I was like, yeah, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Some of them were really convincing, though. And I was thinking about this week. Now, some of them were convincing. They're certainly interesting, but there's no life there. There's no relationship there. There's no connection there. Nothing about my life changed because I saw that. And the point is, when it comes to faith for us today, let's not settle for an imitation. Yeah, there are a lot of worldviews that are very convincing, very appealing, but there's no life there. There's no power. It's just a shell. It's just a wax figurine. The difference between an almost Christian sort of faith and the kind of living, vibrant, life-transforming faith that's found in Jesus, it's the difference between a wax sculpture and a living, breathing human. It's that profound. It's night and day. And without the good news of Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, without this being indwelt and filled by his Holy Spirit, there is no power. Without that, we're just following an empty, dead religion. Now, the point today also, I just want to say this, is not this. Our point today is not, let's just all focus on having the perfect theology, because that's going to help us out. Because that actually can often lead us to more self-centered religion and moralism, and actually an alternate gospel, which is salvation through right belief, which is actually not salvation through by faith. We don't want just a kind of a Christian version of moralism through having the right theology. Nor is today about feeling bad, about feeling deficient or feeling guilty. We're all at different places today when it comes to faith. But wherever you are today when it comes to faith, when it comes to whether you're exploring Christianity for the first time or whether you've maybe been a follower of Jesus for many years or many decades even, just a reminder today of how much God loves you, that he values you, that God wants to be with you, and God has more for you. God has more for you than maybe you even have for yourself today. And so I want to invite you to know the fullness of God so that you'll be able to know the fullness of your identity in Christ as an heir of God. I want to invite us to posture ourselves really in an open and humble way and say, Jesus, help me to see you and love you as you really are. And then to also see myself in light of who you are. Right? That's really been my prayer this week. God, what new thing do you want to do in our lives? God, what new thing do you want to do in our church? Right? We want to be open-handed in that. And so let's be that kind of people together, an open-handed kind of people who are pursuing the reality, the truth of who Jesus really is together. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together and pray. Lord, so we are thankful for your presence here with us now. Lord, we're thankful that ultimately there's nothing, our past, or our failings, our questions, our doubts, our uncertainties, the pain we've walked through, Lord, there's nothing that can ultimately separate us from your love. Lord, I pray that you would break through anything kind of like a hard shell or barriers between us and you right now, Lord, that you would just soften our hearts to what you want to do in our lives. Lord, that we would know you as a gentle, as a loving Father in our lives who loves us, who cares deeply about us. And Lord, the reason we're talking about all this today, Lord, is we want to pursue the path that leads straight to you. Lord, we don't want something that's almost there. We don't want something that's close. We don't want something that's kind of right. Lord, we want your truth. We want your reality. We want your presence in our lives, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, that we will all know that this is not just by effort. It's not by earning something, Lord, but it is by your unmerited favor in our lives. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, will you give us comfort where we need comfort today? Lord, challenge us where we need challenge, but we know that all of this is in love, that you love us, that we are your daughters, we are your sons. And I pray that you would give us a reality of what that means for us today. Lord, that you'd move beyond a theory, beyond an abstraction to us today, to a real living person in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'd like to check out some more about Trinity, you can visit our website at www.trinitychurch.life.